once I have the weight off, then I can go and do all these great things with my life and then I'll be happy, right? We have it so backwards. And when it should be, do have, not have, do be.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. People exactly like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Today, I sat down with Samantha Gladish. Samantha is a nutritionist by background. She is a health crusader, and she has come to be a very effective and renowned online entrepreneur. Well, I thought we were actually going to talk about health. Where we went with this conversation was really getting to know the fundamentals that entrepreneurs require to be effective in this world. We broke through some of the commonly held beliefs that hold people back in terms of being able to achieve what they want to achieve. And then we got into health totally from an unexpected angle, where we started to explore the connection between hormones, the birth control pill, and sometimes their collective incapacity to enable us to be our best selves. I want to call this episode, and maybe we will, Hormones, Money, Mindset, and Birth Control, because it kind of encompasses the most important elements that we covered. Everyone, Samantha Gladish. Samantha Gladish, it's so great to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So it's exciting to have you here because we're going to be able to talk about my two favorite subjects, which are business and health together under one roof. And one of the neat things I love about people who are engaged and passionate about holistic wellness, which incidentally is the name of your business, is that there's always a story that got them to where they're at. What is your story? How did you get to where you are right now? And what are you up to?
Absolutely. So it's been quite the journey. I know that in this online world, it's so easy to look at people and kind of think like, oh, look at them and they're thriving and their business is growing so fast. And it's like, it's actually been like a 12-year journey.
Right.
It's not
something you're an overnight success.
Yes. And I mean, really, as a little girl, like I was always innately connected to nature and nutrition. And like my parents would take me to McDonald's and I would order salads. And I just like grew up like in the garden and my mom made everything from scratch. And I always just really had this like connection to eating really good food. And it's not to say that my diet was always perfect growing up. And as a teenager, you definitely indulge in the sugar and the carbs and whatnot. And so in my teenage years, I really suffered with a lot of like PMS and digestive issues. And even as a young girl, like I had a lot of, you know, my parents putting me on like pharmaceutical drugs and antibiotics and things like that. And, you know, your parents do what they do because they do what they know best. Right. And so, all of that, you know, definitely impacted my health. It impacted my digestion and gut health. And so I was always just kind of interested in like learning about health. Like, okay, what is PMS? Like, how can I fix this? Like, what's going on with my digestion? And kind of like diving in and kind of trying to understand that for myself. And I always just wanted to do it, like heal those things naturally. And so I never ever thought that I would become a nutritionist or work in this field. It was just kind of a hobby. And then, you know, I went to university, I actually got a BA in religion and English, and it was really in university. It's funny, the guy that I dated in university, his family was like really into organics and Chinese medicine and acupuncture, and like they just really were planting seeds for me. And after university, I was like, I want to go study nutrition. Like, this is totally what I want to go do. And then, and that's what I did. I got my BA from U of T, and then I went on to study nutrition. And during nutrition school, I will never forget being in the business class and our teacher saying, you can charge $75 an hour. And I was thinking, oh my God, like that is so much money. That's crazy. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to coach all these people, $75 an hour. And this is going back like at least 10 or 11 ish years ago. And so, and then, you know, graduated from nutrition school and kind of roughly put up this website. The name Holistic Wellness kind of landed on me just one day randomly in my class. And I decided, oh my God, I have to go buy that URL. And I didn't even really know what any of it meant, but I just knew I had to go buy it. And at some point I would need a website. And so I started to put up a blog and share some information and write some articles and share some recipes. And I had no plan. I had no vision. I really did not know what I was doing. I just thought that, okay, I'm going to start coaching people and getting all these clients. And you think like, okay, now that you have your certification, people are just going to show up at your door. And that was so not the case. Or you think just because you're, you know, you've got a website up and you're sharing information, again, people are just going to come flocking to you. And so that did not happen. And so I then worked in a couple of health food stores part-time, and then and also coaching on the side. And then I got a full-time job managing a health food store, and that was really fun. And the great thing about that was that it actually got me to connect with so many people in the industry. And I just got to build some really great relationships. And I also got to get some really great knowledge with like supplements and protocols and learning from different companies and doing all types of trainings. And so I've learned so much. I feel like what I learned in nutrition school is like 10% of what I know now. And everything else just came from, you know, like the real world experience and coaching with people. And so the journey has been long, and it's really been in the past 3 to 4 years where I really have been an entrepreneur and working in my business full time. And so after working in health food stores, I then went on to be a sales rep with a fish oil company. And then I actually had a sales rep job with a few different companies. I was always just looking for more, like what's the next thing. And then I actually got fired from my sales rep job, and I literally celebrated that night because I was just like, oh my God, like this is perfect. And it was kind of at a time where I was putting more energy into my business and I was getting more clients, and I was, my website was getting more views, and I was just really building this traction. And a part of me knew that, okay, I really need to start diving in here and putting 2 feet into my business, but I was so scared to leave my job and that income. But then when I got let go, I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. Like the universe pretty much did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that was how it really started, when I got let go and I just dived full force into growing my online business.
That's amazing. You know, there's a few things that you said there that really struck me, which I think in part of your character, but I'd love for you to comment on them as like, you know, it's your unique character coupled with circumstances. And, you know, you said you got out of school and you kind of expected that things would just roll, which I feel like is the universal myth for wellness entrepreneurs, is that because I worked hard in school and paid a lot of money that I kind of deserve to have clients. And it's just not the case. And then you said, you know, you went out and you built your network and you worked in supplement stores, and there was all these great experiences. And what struck me about that is that was the lens through which you saw it. You're like, these were amazing experiences that enabled me to be stronger. Whereas I have a lot of people who will say, oh, I'm stuck working in a health food store. I have to do this part. And then how much, like, you have this glass half full attitude. How much of that is do you attribute to your success?
Oh my God. All of it.
Listen up, people.
All of it. And, you know, there's been a lot of personal growth work. You know, you can't grow a successful business without doing the deep work on yourself. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, you can do that, but at some point you're going to be burnt out and you're not going to have the deep insights and the quote unquote balance that you really want for your life. And I think that really digging into the personal growth and seeing where these blocks come up for you, whether it be with your money or your time or your relationships. I mean, especially as a coach, like, I can only coach people and take them as far as I've gone myself. And so it's so important to do that work on myself because it really allows me to show up in such a bigger way in my business. And so that attitude, I mean, I have so many practitioners that reach out to me and, you know, saying the same thing, like, oh, I got, you know, I have this part-time job and I'm working in the store, and they just, you know, and I'm always like, you really got to be super grateful for having that job. Because first of all, it's hard to get a job. Many people out there are looking for jobs and they can't get one. And here you are, you actually have a job, you have some money coming in. Look at your job, whether it's full-time or part-time, as in like an investor in your business. That money is just going to go and help you build and create something that you really want and that you really love. So it's really having the patience and knowing that everything is going to come to you in the right time and the right sequence. And I had to really trust that, as hard and as uncomfortable as it was. I really just had to trust that it was going to work out in the right time.
Yeah, you don't have a choice, right?
You really don't.
You don't. You can always choose the mindset, this is never going to work, and you'll be right.
It's true.
Yeah. Samantha, you said in there, you said something about balance. And I heard it just squeak in, and then we moved on. You're like, if you're going to even approach something with some semblance of balance, do you have balance?
Well, I really don't think
there's... Truth bomb.
Total truth bomb. So, I mean, balance to me is going to be different of, you know, what balance means to you or anybody else. I mean, being, you know, I'm not married, I don't have kids. So my balance and my schedule looks very different than a mother who has like four kids, right? So balance is always going to be really different to everybody. And you have to create that balance. You know, you have to find what your balance means and create that. And so there's always that saying, like, you know, you give, especially as entrepreneurs, like, you give up that 9-to-5, 8-hour workday and you trade it in for like a 12-hour workday, right? And don't get me wrong, like, in my first few years of business, there was definitely like crazy long days and, you know, that like hustle and that grind mentality. And then I had to, and it really started to impact my health and my sleep. And like, it just, things didn't feel really good that way. And it was like, this is not how I want to approach business. And like, it doesn't have to be so hard. Like, we make it so hard. And so I decided that, like, I was going to make business easy. I was going to make making money easy. It doesn't have to be hard. And so with that came, you know, this realization that, okay, like, I want my life to revolve. Maybe make some stuff. I want my business to revolve around my life, not my life revolve around my business. Right. And so I really, like, for example, I'm actually not a morning person, and getting up really early, you know, hearing all these things about you got to seize the day and be up at 5 a.m.
That's impossible. You can't be an entrepreneur and not get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, right? And I was like, that's just so not my character. Like, I thrive much later in the day, and I'm really slow in the mornings. I like to wake up and not be rushed, and I like to read and journal and like make my tea or my coffee in the morning and sit. And like, I'm just really slow. Like that is what works for me. And that's how I function really well. And so that's what I created, like with my clients and my calls, and all my coaching. Like I don't start that until 11 o'clock. You know, there's calls. I do not take calls earlier than that because I'm just not on point. Like that's just not what works for me. And it's funny, like I even noticed that going back, looking back at when I was a sales rep, you know, you had this flexibility as a sales rep, like you were kind of like would make your own hours, but at the same time, there was an expectation that you'd be out on the road early. And I just had such a hard time with that. Like so many days I'd be sleeping in and then I wouldn't even get out on the road until like 1 o'clock. And you know, my boss at the time, he was really great. And so he was just like, listen, like if you're putting in the hours and you're seeing, you know, the accounts that you need to, then you do what makes sense for you. Right. So that's when I really realized like, yeah, I really am slow in the mornings. Like this is how I really function. And this is what feels good for me and my body and with my time. And so I've really adapted that into my coaching calls and with all my clients and how I do work. Like I just don't do it in the mornings. So that's just in terms of balance, it's really about getting clear on what I want my days to look like and especially thinking long term, like what does that future look like? Am I really committed to like trading time for money and being burnt out and working these long hours, like that's not what I want for myself. And so it's like, really, what am I committed to? And I think that's an important distinction to make because wanting something is really just a wish. Whereas making a commitment is really having a clear vision. And so for me, I'm always careful about like, do I want this or is it actually a commitment? And I think if entrepreneurs can really make that distinction, it could really help them get clear on what they want for their business and their life.
So how did you do that? Because when you started out, you said, I just started blogging and getting out there and posting and doing these things. I had no vision. I had no clarity. What was it that sort of rallied you to a place where you went, okay, I need a strategy. I need a goal. I need to have a sense of where I'm going. What transitioned you?
So, a few years ago, it must be at least 3 or 4 years ago now, I went to, well, so I lost my job, started diving into the online world and just kind of blogging and really just being more proactive with seeking out clients. And it was very slow, don't get me wrong, but there was also this like, you know, okay, like I don't have this income now. Like I really have to get focused and find ways to make this work. And so I was doing a lot of research online and I landed on Marie Forleo's B School. And so I signed up for her program, which by the way, I never finished because it taught me that what I really need is a human being to interact with. I actually need someone to physically talk to, not just go out and do something on my own. And so sure enough, I was on Facebook one day and I see Lori Kennedy's Wellness Business Summit pop up. And it was just this like feeling inside of just like, oh my God, yes, I have to be there. And I went immediately and bought my ticket. I was like, yeah, I have to go there. And so when I went to her business summit, I just started learning so much about, you know, online marketing and sales copy and Facebook ads and building your list. And like, they were just planting all these seeds. And I started to really network with people and speak with people and see how this is really possible. And so it just started to really open me up to like what was possible. And then instead of reinventing the wheel, it was like, well, these people have already done this. Lori has created this for herself. Like I need to work with her. And so I hired her as a business coach and that's what really changed everything. I knew I couldn't do this alone. And so I hired her and she helped me. And then after coaching with her, I just continued to seek out coaches and continue to invest in myself and continue to learn. And, you know, I still have a coach now and I have a coach that I've been working with for the past 2 years. And he's not necessarily a business coach. He's He's actually an ontological coach. And what that means is, so ontology is the study of being. So it's how you're being and who you're being and how that affects what you're doing and what you have. Because so many of us have it backwards. It's like, I want the have, and then I'll do this. You know, once I have the weight off, then I can go and do all these great things with my life, and then I'll be happy, right? We have it so backwards. We have it, and when it should be, do have, not have, do be. And so he really started to just open me up to more power and possibility for my life. And so I know that I wouldn't have been able to achieve what I've achieved without having this support group and without having the coaches. That was really key. And so that was something that I had to really like go out and learn and invest in. And that's really what kind of opened me up to this. I think that answers the question.
Yeah, it was great. And you know, as you're talking, you're talking about coaching, you're talking about investing yourself. And I know people are going to go, yeah, I've heard that before. But like, if I peel that all back, the one thing that I hear behind it is you need to have skin in the game. It needs to matter. You can't just go through the motions. You need that physiological impetus to actually get out there and drive it. Did you find that was true for you?
Yes, totally. Like, you do need to have skin in the game. And like investing the money when I didn't have it, like I do that all the time and just kind of trust in the process that this is just going to work out. And it's something that I know is going to up-level me to, you know, take me to the next level. And so, you really do need to have skin in the game. And especially when you have bills to pay and you know, you got whatever it might be, your mortgage, your rent, your car, like just the money that, and it just doesn't have to be expensive to build your online business or offline business, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be expensive, but there are expenses required. And as I started to really dive in to see these things that I really needed, that was going to help me grow, I was like, okay, like this is what I want to do. This is what's going to bring me to the next level. And so I'm going to find the ways to bring in that money and invest in these things, because I know it's only going to help me grow. And of course, with that too came really recognizing like the sustainability of, okay, my coaching fees, like each year that went by, like those rates increased, right? And so as I got better at what I was doing, and I was able to increase those rates, right? And as you become a better coach, and as your wait list grows, and you get amazing results with your clients, you know, yes, you can then start to demand higher prices. And so that's a huge thing too, right? Like really realizing like, okay, like, is it sustainable? Can I really grow my business at the rates that I have right now and the packages that I have, and like really trying to tweak those. And so as the years went by, like my rates started to go up, and as with anything, right? So.
Yeah. And so was that money mindset and that comfort with, well, you know, what I'm offering is more valuable, so I'm going to charge more for it. Is that something that naturally evolved for you? Did you have to go out and do work on that? I know this is something that a lot of people struggle with, a lot of wellness practitioners struggle with, a lot of women struggle with this. Like, how did you get to that place where you're like, I'm honoring my worth?
I went out and I got work on that, and I continue to do work on that, and I will continue to do work on that.
All of the above.
All of it. It is not something that you work on, you fix, and then it's done and you're good for the rest of your life. Like, and with every next level in your business and in your life, you're going to have to constantly bring yourself up to that level too, mentally, emotionally, physiologically, like everything, right? So there's always work to be done. And I had to seek out support around that. And I really had to break down and start to recognize what are my issues here? Like, what is my money story? Like, what are my beliefs around money? Like, who taught me about money and making money? And so, you know, I had to really dive into that and start to break that apart. And, you know, obviously thanks to my coach, like that's where I got the support. And it's, And it's the this is the case with, I mean, everybody has their thing, has their issues, has their story, right? And for the most part, it's safe to say that we all have our stories around like time, money, and relationships. Like those are three of the biggest ones. And so, you know, the more proactive you can be in really diving in and understanding like what is the story that you keep carrying with you around time, money, relationships, you know, the better you can break through those things and reach that next level of success. And so for me, like I just didn't, you know, years ago, I never thought it was possible to have a thriving online business and charge the rates that I want to, or just make the money that I want. Like, you know, nowadays it's pretty wild to see people making, you know, the amount of money in a month that they used to make in a year. Right. But at the same time, it's really easy to get sucked into, oh, like I'm going to have an online business and all of a sudden it's just going to make six figures in like 6 months. Like that's not the case. And that is not what I'm trying to sell. It takes a lot of work. Absolutely. But it is absolutely possible. And you just have to really believe that for yourself. So it's so frustrating. Like I get so frustrated watching all these ads online about like, you know, have your seven figure business and your six figure business or launch your first six figure webinar in like 5 weeks. And it's like, this is sure. Maybe it's possible. Yes, there are people who have done that, but it's really important to know the backstory because that took many, many years for somebody to get there. As is the case with myself, with yourself, you know, it's been a process.
It's absolutely a process. And I think that expectation that you walk out and it's going to be big puts people in such a deep hole of disappointment that it's difficult to climb out of. And I know when I work with clients, like understanding your purpose and your focus and your bigger vision is so critical to be able to get up every day and rally and continue to work on it or to seek the support that you need. And I know when you started out and one of your areas of passion was talking about women and hormonal health and in particular PCOS. Not to segue off business, but I want to talk about hormones for a few minutes because I think it's part and parcel. I think we're driving these businesses as women and then often we're managing health on the back end. Tell me a little bit about how this became such a passion for you.
Yeah, so you know, you often typically go into the health field because of issues that you have yourself. And so I, you know, going back when I had mentioned that I had a lot of PMS issues when I was younger. So it was just really natural for me to want to work with women who also have those issues because I had gone through it myself and I really understand it and was really starting to tune into my cycle and really understand the birth control pill. And so I really wanted to support other women in getting off the pill and supporting their cycle and reducing their PMS symptoms or eliminating them. And so, I never had the intention of working with women with PCOS. Like it wasn't something that was top of mind, but with the program that I offer, you know, I do a lot of weight loss coaching. That's really the focus of my business. But within that weight loss coaching, obviously we are addressing hormones and we're supporting hormonal health. And so I had this is going back a few years ago. I just had like a whole bunch of women within this 1 month reach out to me with PCOS. It was just like, I kept hearing it over and over and over again. I was just like, okay, this is so wild. And I'm drawing all these women in with PCOS. And so sure enough, you know, I was putting them through my program and they just had incredible results. And, you know, some of them got pregnant, which was amazing because, you know, they wanted to start families and, some of them were finally able to get their period back. And like, it was just so great. And so it just became this area that I was really passionate about. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, what I really do is blood sugar management. And so I do work with a lot of diabetics and women with PCOS. And so it just, you know, the program that I offer, just it works really, really well for those women, as well as for women who are, you know, looking to lose 20, 30, 40 plus pounds. And so, yeah, it never really dawned on me that this would be an area that I would want to specifically sort of niche in. And I wouldn't even say I've actually really niched down in that area, but it's definitely something that I'm thinking more about and creating more specific programs around PCOS. And you know, obviously as a nutritionist, it's just so amazing to see food be so healing and just introducing, you know, simple holistic modalities and herbs and supplements. And it's just so incredible to see these women come to me with, like, you know, no cycle and cystic acne and hair growth and all these things that, you know, typically develop with PCOS. And then within a few months, it's just like completely reversing this and finally getting their cycle back and just feeling so transformed. It's just really rewarding to see that. And so, and then with my own health journey, I mean, and I'm sure you've experienced it yourself, you know, like the stress of having, you know, your own business. And I just got really drawn into, you know, and focused on my business, and I didn't neglect my health. Right. So I still was eating really well and exercising, and there was definitely self-care, but stress is stress, right? And so many of us think that stress is only going to come in the form of, you know, something like a death in the family or, you know, a divorce and relationship breakdowns. And, but a lot of people don't really recognize that, like, having a monkey brain all day with your to-do list going through your head, like, that is a form of stress. And, you know, in my life, like, yes, there's personal stresses and there's professional stresses, and they may not seem as dramatic as somebody else who's going through, you know, stress in their life, however it manifests in their life. But it really started to take a toll on my body. And then it started to really affect my sleep, and my, just my brain was constantly so busy. And it was really last year when I started to feel like, you know, something's just not right. Like, I'm just not feeling right in my body. And I was starting to experience these, like, really interesting pains in my hand. And, like, even when I went to go do weight training and I would lift the weights, like, I couldn't even grip them. Like, I just had this weird sensation going through my hands. And then my memory was just getting so bad. I mean, my long-term memory is great, but if you were to ask me, like, what I ate yesterday or what I did, I'd be like, I have no idea. And, you know, that was never the case. And so I just started to just feel really off in my body. And there was this little voice inside of me that was like, you should go test for Hashimoto's. Like, you should go really test for, like, autoimmunity. And there's definitely a history of autoimmunity in my family, with my mother and my grandmother. And I just had this voice in my head that was like, yeah, you really need to go do some hormone testing and get on top of this. And like, let's really understand it. And sure enough, I did. And so I got my lab results back, and my antibodies were really, really high, which pretty much gave me my diagnosis for Hashimoto's, which I had really already known. And so that's really where I'm at now with my health, right? And so many people look at, I'm sure it happens with you too, right? Like, people look at you thinking, like, you have to be in perfect health because you're a practitioner. And it's like, well, I'm also a human being, right? You know, I have my own personal and professional stresses, and it manifested in my case into, you know, an autoimmune condition. And so I had a girlfriend actually ask me the other day, and she was like, when you found out you had Hashimoto's, like, were you pissed? And I was like, no, like, not at all. Like, I was just like, okay, like, let's do this. Like, I already know what needs to be done, you know, and I'm willing to and committed to diving in and healing. And I think so many women ignore those whispers. You know, they have these weird symptoms, or they have maybe the weight that keeps coming on, or they have the brain fog and the sleep issues, and they're just not feeling right in their bodies, but they don't go and invest in themselves and seek out the support and dive in and do the testing. And then 10, 15, 20 years go by, and that has now escalated into, you know, like an autoimmune condition, but like really advanced. So for example, in my mother's case, she now has lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And it didn't start out like that. You know, that started many, many, many years ago of her not addressing those whispers, those little symptoms that you think don't really matter.
Yeah. And I think that one of the tragedies with that is women will also go and seek assistance, but they fall victim to the short-sighted advice of take this birth control pill and that'll make you get your cycle back again, or take this hormonal intervention and your acne will go away, or go on antibiotics for 5 years and your urinary tract infections will end. And I get addressing some things on an acute level. I respect what Western medicine does. But the reason I don't hang out there in my practice is because I want to get upstream and address the cause of the problem. And if we're talking about PCOS, and for people who are sitting there going like, someone please just tell me what that stands for. It stands for a polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it's an estrogen dominant condition. And it's highly pervasive among women because we have so many external estrogens that influence our body. And we've got stress and genetic susceptibilities. And we could talk about this all day, right? But where I want to go with this is I want to talk about the birth control pill.
Yes.
There's two things that you said there. You were talking about hormones. We were talking about short-sighted fixes. And then we were talking about whispers in the body. And I'm interested in your personal perspective, but mine is that birth control is highly personal and it should be a dialogue between you and your health practitioner, your naturopath, your physician, whoever it happens to be, but it needs to be informed.
Yes.
And the thing I find more and more and more, I found this for myself. I haven't been on the pill for over 10 years. It's probably why I have three children. is that I was a nutcase on the pill. Like I had no access to my true self. I could not get in touch with my inner confidence. My brain was always in a state of fogginess. And I mentioned this to physicians a few times. And they're lovely. And they're like, oh, it's just not a real thing. And I'm like, no, this is a real thing. I am crazy on this pill. And I hear women say this all the time in my practice. And we're influenced by external hormones. And I would really love to hear your perspective on the birth control pill. Am I just highly biased by my experience? Have you heard the same thing in your practice? I'm clearly passionate about this, but
yes.
I want you to listen to those whispers, ladies, if you're like, I'm crazy on this pill.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I hear it all the time. And I mean, there are numerous side effects. And, you know, I went on the pill myself for almost 7 or 8 years when I was about, I think about 16 or 17. And of course, at that age, like, you don't have any clue about your body. Like, you don't understand what ovulation is. At least I didn't. Like, I didn't know what ovulation was. Like, literally, when you're in your teens, you pretty much think you can get pregnant every single day of the month. Like, you know, like, I had no idea.
You probably can when you're in your teens, so be careful.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But, you know, you just don't really understand, like, what ovulation is and what a healthy cycle should look like. And so, because I suffered with a lot of cramps and headaches around my cycle, and then when I brought this up with my doctor, he just handed me the pill and was just like, "Here you go, like here's your fix," and that was that. I didn't question anything. My parents didn't question anything. It was just normal to do that, and that was seen as the quote unquote like fix, right? And that's what balances your hormones. And at least this is what I was told and I was taught. And this is the same thing for many women today. And so, you know, going on the pill, it shuts down ovulation. And ovulation is really how you produce your estrogen and progesterone. And so when you're taking the birth control pill, you stop your own hormones from working. You are taking in synthetic hormones, and this basically shuts down your ovaries. So your ovaries are just like, why do we need to produce hormones anymore when we've got the synthetics coming in, right? So it really shuts down your ovaries. And so when you get off of the pill, this is why you oftentimes don't get your cycle back right away, because you're essentially, what needs to happen is that your ovaries need to sort of kickstart again, and you need to start producing those hormones again. And, you know, the pill also has an impact on your insulin levels, which is why so many women who do not have PCOS before they go on the pill they go on the pill, and then once they come off, they actually then start to develop PCOS. And so, you know, insulin resistance is correlated with polycystic ovarian syndrome. And then if you have insulin resistance, oftentimes this can end up making your ovaries overproduce testosterone, which is why some of those symptoms of PCOS are cystic acne and excess hair growth. And so, you know, women don't see this correlation happening between the pill. And I get that we just want this like quick fix. And, you know, it's interesting, like we want to go on the pill because we want to have this like sexual liberation and feel very free and confident and not have to think about our cycles and you know, have this sort of like sexual freedom in our relationships. But we end up going on the pill and get fat, frumpy, and exhausted, and hair falls out, and we actually lose our sex drive. And so, right?
Well, I'm empowered.
Yeah. Right. And so it's just unfortunate that, like, yes, it is absolutely a conversation that you need to have with your doctor and your naturopath and your practitioners. And it needs to be, you know, it's definitely your personal choice, but we are really missing this piece of the puzzle about really understanding about the side effects and actually what it's doing and the potential of what your health can be and look like in the future. So we just don't have that information. You know, doctors aren't sharing that information about that. They're just like, here it is, you'll be fine. Like there's no mention about the effects on ovulation, on insulin and your ovaries and pregnancy, you know, infertility and PCOS, like that, none of that is spoken about. So of course, women don't see an issue with going on it. And so tracking your cycle is more effective than actually going on the birth control pill. It's just as effective. You know, understanding your cycle and when you're ovulating and really tuning into that is just as effective. And so if more women could just really tune in into their bodies and really dive into their cycle and what a healthy cycle should look like and tracking ovulation and body temperature and cervical mucus. Like, yes, that may seem like really hard work to do, but what's harder is suffering with the hair loss and the hormonal imbalances and the infertility and the weight gain. That's harder. So, you know, it's a personal choice. I don't personally recommend the birth control pill. There are much better options out there.
If we had any men left on this particular episode, they jumped at cervical mucus.
Totally.
So the promise I'm going to make to everybody after opening this can of worms, which I actually quite enjoy, is that we're going to do an entire episode on birth control and the ramifications and where to get resources. Cause I think there's a lot of women going, oh, wow. So step one, start to listen to your body, like listen to the whispers. Step two, we'll let you know when the empowered birth control episode airs.
Awesome.
Samantha, how do you define health?
It is, you know, living in your truest, most authentic self. And being fully self-expressed, vital, and living with joy, and really feeling confident and sexy every day.
This episode is brought to you by the Genetics Summit. I don't know about you, but I want to know everything I can about how to take my life and my health to the next level. Looking at genetic information to be able to address your health at a totally different place is cutting edge, and it's precision medicine at its best. Our friend James Maskell from the Evolution of Medicine has pulled together leading experts from around the world together to present information from August 21st to 28th in the free online Genetics Summit. This is an opportunity to understand what you need to know about getting testing, how to interpret the information, and what changes you realistically need to make in your life on a daily basis to take the way you are living to a whole new place. For more information or to register for the summit, go to meganwalker.com/genetics summit. We'll see you there. Samantha, we have a second part to the interview, and this part is really short and quick. We call these KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like you would have them in your business, I think we also have them in our health. So if you are amenable, I've got five quick questions for you.
Okay, let's do it.
And you already sort of addressed this one, but I'm curious, do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share it?
Yes, I do. So I wake up, I reach over to the table on the side, and I grab a book, like an affirmation book, and read the affirmation for the day. And that book, sometimes it varies. It might be like a Wayne Dyer book, or like a Gabrielle Bernstein or something like that. And then I get up, and so it's like really the first thing I do when I open my eyes is like read the affirmation. And I just kind of, actually I kind of just sit there and let it sort of sink in a little bit. And then I get up and I drink water. My goal in the morning is to actually drink at least 500 mils to a liter of water before I do anything. Well, then I go pee first. And then I make like tea or I make coffee. And lately I've been really obsessed with this blend of the mushroom coffee blended with coconut butter and collagen. And it's just super delicious. And I will take that and typically go outside and sit with that and read for a little bit and maybe journal. And then that might last about like an hour. And then I kind of come back in and get started for the day.
I love it. Fiction mm-hmm. or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Ooh, it's such a mix. I am reading Jen Sincero, You Are a Badass at Making Money.
Oh, I'm reading that too. It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. Did you read her first one?
Yeah, I listened to it on Audible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah,
so I'm reading. They're quick reads. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're really good.
Hot beverage of choice. What is it and how do you prepare it?
Well, that's the morning elixir that I just mentioned, the mushroom coffee, the collagen powder. So one scoop of collagen powder, about a tablespoon of coconut butter, and then with some hot coffee, mix that in your blender, whip it up. And to get really good froth, you need to blend it for like 30 to 60 seconds, and you need to use enough collagen because people are always like, how do you get it so frothy?
So what collagen do you use?
It varies. I mean, sometimes I use Vital Proteins, Great Lakes, Progressive has some really great ones that just came out on the market, Bulletproof. It just kind of varies.
You're a collagen dabbler.
Yeah.
And what mushroom mix do you use?
I like the Four Sigmatic. They have the Lion's Mane and Chaga blend.
Yeah. I drink a lot of that.
Yeah, I really like that one. And it's interesting because like actually even the other day I had ran, and I don't drink it every single day, but I ran out of it and I had some like Kicking Horse coffee, and I went and I used that and I was super jittery. Like it was such a huge difference. And I was just like, I can't do that. I can't do that one. I was like, my hands were shaking. Like my heart was racing. I was like, okay, this is like way too much caffeine for me.
Yeah, that wasn't a whisper. That was like a jackhammer.
Yeah, pretty much.
What do you do for fun or play?
I feel I'm like, oh, maybe I don't have enough fun and play. I think like in my head, I'm like, okay, the simple things like being outside and like sitting in the park and reading a book, like that's actually just like super fun for me. It's like the slowing down stuff, right? So like big ones on my list are things like dancing. I love to dance. Definitely being outside in nature. And especially in the summertime, going kayaking. So my boyfriend and I always head out to Paris, Ontario, and you can go on these amazing 3-hour kayak rides like along the river, and you just go out on your kayak and bring your own lunch and stop like, you know, stop for spring water along the way. Like it's just so beautiful.
You had me at Paris.
Yeah.
last question, Samantha. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think that it can go both ways. I think that you definitely are born with this like real driven determination to just follow your own rules, make your own rules. Because definitely entrepreneurship is not for everybody. Some people really do need that structure, and they need a boss, and they need someone that tells them what to do. And that's fine. But that definitely, that just didn't work for me. So can you learn it? You can, but I think ultimately, like, deep down in your core, there is this drive and determination and this commitment to really making the rules and creating something on your own.
Samantha, I love it. This interview went absolutely nowhere that I thought it would. and it was just way juicier and meatier and interesting than I could have expected. I thoroughly enjoyed this. And I know people are going to want to follow up with you and have access to some of your really awesome stuff that you're doing. Where can people find you, learn more about what you're up to?
Yeah, awesome. So you can head on over to holisticwellness.ca. I couldn't score.com. That one was taken. So holisticwellness.ca, you can find me there. And I do also have a really great, like, 10-day detox. If anybody is listening that really just wants to dive into sort of cleaning up their diet and just, getting rid of the bloat and supporting their hormones. And that's at holisticwellness.ca/10-day detox. So the number 10, 10. And I love hanging out on Instagram. That's probably where I hang out the most, because I love sharing photos, especially food photos. So you can find me over there. And my Instagram handle is holisticwellnessfoodie.
Well, I love hanging out with you on Instagram as well. I would love to do this again. Thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.